This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, I'm David Gale and welcome to The Informer. Tonight I'm joined by Paul McClure. Tonight we'll be talking to Simon Abrahams, the Festival Director and CEO of the Melbourne Fringe Festival. And also later on we'll be joined by Anthony Wallace from The 86 and also a great activist. Star observer Shannon Power, Chappow, will be joining us as well. Melbourne Fringe is the most adventurous, inclusive, all-encompassing, multi-art form festival in Australia. Every year, they feature more than 6,000 artists from every discipline you can name, and a few others beside, performing more than 400 events in over 160 metro and regional venues to an audience in excess of 300,000 people. Melbourne Fringe is the place to go for pure, unadulterated, uncurated, unexpected artistic discovery, helping artists develop and provide a platform from a vast, diverse range of voices in celebration of the idea that when we come together, we create meaning and beauty and laughter. This is art by the people, for the people, with the people. So come on, people. This is Melbourne Fringe. The festival program was launched late last week, and tonight, The Informer, we are joined by Festival Director and CEO Simon Abrahams. Welcome, Simon.
Good evening. How are you going?
Look, I'm a little bit exhausted after all of that, but because the festival is huge. I mean, it's really big. I go to a number of events every year, but certainly not all 400 or more. How on earth do you put an event of this magnitude together every year?
Yeah, this year is the biggest Melbourne Fringe in history. So there are 463 events this year, which is, you know, about a 15% increase on last year. So what that says to me is there's just such extraordinary demand from the independent arts community and from everyday citizens wanting to kind of find a moment to celebrate freedom of artistic expression.
Might tell me to go to 15% more programs than I did last year. Look, the festival is no stranger to many of us in the GLBTI community, but in case someone is listening that doesn't know about the Fringe Festival, what can you tell people that the Fringe Festival is about?
Oh, sure. So Melbourne Fringe is, kind of as you said in your amazing introduction, Melbourne Fringe is a completely uncurated festival. So that means it's a festival that's about celebrating, I guess you'd say, cultural democracy. It's a place for any citizen, no matter who they are, to contribute something to the life of their city. So we have work of every possible art form, of every possible scale, from complete amateurs through to artists at the absolute peak of their careers. And what we do is present them side by side all together. So it's a celebration of community, but it's also kind of an extraordinary celebration of independent art.
It is pretty exciting and funny because we were just talking before the program and it's a bit like, you know, the festival is so accessible. It's a bit like buying a ticket to the opera, or if you're going to the festival, buying a ticket just to go and see a local band at a pub or something like that. It's a lot more accessible than a lot of mainstream art because it's so diverse and everybody wants to be in it.
That's it. And 25% of our program is completely free. And our average ticket price is $20. So we really encourage audiences to, you know, see multiple shows in a night, have an adventure, see something weird and wonderful and wacky, see something extraordinary, see something, maybe you didn't love it, but it's about the kind of journey, I guess, as well. And you can end all of that by coming along. We have a free club and free entertainment, and it's kind of an extraordinary night out.
Now, the actual program was released last week. Yeah. So, you know, otherwise we would have had you on The Informer well before. So this is your first Joy 94.9 interview, which is great. Tell me, are there any events that, you know, sort of for our GLBTI community, any events that come to mind that you might even sort of give us the goss on and say, look, maybe this is what you should be going to check out?
Oh, look, there are so many, I almost don't know where to start. We have a number of works that we've commissioned ourselves that are extraordinary large-scale free works. So we've actually commissioned an artist called Robin Fox, who's an extraordinary composer and visual artist to create literally a city-scaled sculpture. So we're creating a laser light sculpture that will kind of light up around South Bank, the whole city, for the first 4 days of the festival. So that'll be a kind of quite extraordinary thing to be a part of, I think, and to kind of witness in all its glory.
Is that down in that little vacant lot just behind the Arts Centre?
It's literally, we're connecting building tops across the city using giant beams of laser light. So we are connecting buildings from the South Gate Centre, right through across to Spring Street, to Burke Street, where we're standing right now, to Spencer Street and back. It is a city-scaled, ginormous sculpture using giant laser beams. So that's a work to come and kind of experience, I think, and kind of kick off your Melbourne Fringe journey from there.
So you could actually just pop down there on your way to see something else in the Fringe Festival.
Totally, absolutely. We have a heap of specifically queer-themed work if people are interested in that.
Do you like from the program in that sort of
Where do I start? Yana Alana, who many people might know, is an extraordinary cabaret artist, is creating a queer work for children and rainbow families, which I think will be an awful lot of fun. We have Little Ones Theatre, who are quite a well-known queer theatre company, creating a work called Immaculate, which is an evening devoted to feminist icon, children's author and terrible actor Madonna.
That's certainly one to put down, I think.
We have Mama Alto, who, again, some people might know, is the extraordinary genderqueer counter tenor, who's a cabaret artist as well, creating a kind of best of show. And Tina Del Twist, who some of our listeners will certainly know from her performances at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival over many years, has a new work for us as well. There's a contemporary dance work called Hard Queer Death Pony, You've Had Worse Things in Your Mouth. And if that doesn't sum up everything that is a queer show at Melbourne Fringe, I don't know what does.
What sort of work is that?
It's a contemporary, quite a provocative contemporary dance work.
Is it really? Yeah, because I went and saw a couple of dance works. It was either last year or the year before, and I know there was Bad Adam and
Tony, which was
absolutely amazing, and it actually made me rethink my concept of interpretive dance. So, and this is the whole idea about the whole program, is that it can be confronting, but it also changes your ideas and everything else. There's something on your website which I really love this year too. It's called the Festival Fortune Teller, which I've actually used, and I actually encourage Paul to use it tonight. Paul, you did use it, didn't you?
I did. And what it does is asks you a series of questions, in a sense, to find out what would be good for you to go and see as part of the festival. Is that right?
That's exactly it. I think we were trying to think about the fact that so many people say to us, there's 460-something shows. Mm. How could I ever choose what to see?
Can't scroll through it all.
It's just overwhelming for people. So, you know, we have done a number of things to help people with that. One of the first things we did was kind of give people a lot more searchability through the website, mm-hmm. so they could really work out what they want to see and where and when and why and how. We then created a new platform where you can actually search by the kind of experience that you want to have. So if you want to discover something hilarious or something experimental or something challenging or something thoughtful, you can also browse the program that way. And if even all of that is too overwhelming, we invented the Festival Fortune Teller, which
That's
is a
what
game.
I love it.
It's super fun. And it literally, it's a computer game, I guess, that asks you a series of, takes about 30 seconds to play.
It does.
It asks you a series of questions that's about trying to understand your personality. And then based on that, we've programmed it. So based on those questions, it actually will recommend 9 shows for you to see.
Yeah.
So and they are targeted to things that
they
that
change as well. You can play it over and over again and still get a different sort of set, similar set, but also a little bit different. So it actually works quite well.
That's it. And during the festival itself, there's also a person. There'll actually be Festival Fortune Teller
live,
and they'll be located. We're having a booth at City Square, and you can actually come to our booth at City Square during the festival, meet the Festival Fortune Teller, and they will tell you the Melbourne Fringe show that you are destined to see.
Ah, look, that sounds all too good for me. Look, is there, because you'll probably be visiting quite a few of the events,
what
are you looking forward to personally?
Gosh, I don't even know where to start. We have the extraordinary circus company Cassis, who you might have heard of. They're literally, they're wowing them in Edinburgh as we speak. They're bringing two shows to us, one for children and one for adults. But Cassis, I'm definitely very excited about. There's another circus work called Sediment that's on at Gasworks Arts Park. And Sediment will be a fantastic kind of, you know, dirty, you know, brilliant kind of exchange of circus skills. And I'm definitely quite excited by that. And some of our kind of favourite fringe artists are back. So Sammy J's got a show with us. D. Rotten Punkter have got a show with us. Josh Earle is doing a show for kids. So a lot of kind of stand-up comedy, cabaret and weird and wonderful performance work for us as well.
A fantastic festival. And look, we will be putting up some links to the melbournefringe.com.au website with the podcast after the episode tonight of The Informer. Thanks very much, Simon, for joining us.
My pleasure.
Some have described our next guest as a tireless worker for equal love. Others know him as the owner of the venue, The 86. Our guest on The Informer is Anthony Wallace. Good evening, Anthony.
Good evening, then. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Look, we've just had the excitable Simon Abrahams in the studio. But before we talk about the Fringe Festival, you joined Equal Love about 7 years ago. It's been a journey we've all witnessed, not your personal journey, but, you know, we've all witnessed the journey about Equal Love over the last 7 years.
We're still on this journey, aren't we, Dan?
We are still on the journey. But back then, were you filled with optimism back 7 years ago?
Yes, I mean, we had a big shift in government. I mean, after 10 years of Howard, he was voted out. We thought the Kevin Rudd then was a very progressive, and he seemed to speak sense, and we got the apology to the Stolen Generation pretty quickly. And I guess there was a lot of optimism that something like marriage equality would be in the very foreseeable future, and he put a nail in that coffin pretty quickly.
Yeah.
By standing opposing it. And then when he was toppled by Gillard, again, we thought, oh, okay, great, it's going to happen now. We've got an atheist, unmarried, de facto woman as our prime minister, who once fought for gay rights when she was a university student herself. So it looked very promising. And again, federal politics have put our equality on the back burner.
Seems to be a bit of a theme, no matter which party is in government, that these things get put on the back burner because of federal politics. Things have changed, and that brings us to the state of play today. What can you tell us about now? Because there are some slight things going on.
There's been a lot of revelations since the election. Obviously, Parliament's not due to return until the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Turnbull's position, he took up Tony Abbott's plebiscite idea. Turnbull's cemented that as that's the way forward that the coalition would be taking. But we always knew it would depend on the outcome of the election. It would depend on who his cabinet were. It would depend on who were the returning members. And it's been well documented since the election that we have overwhelming support now in the lower house. So there is nothing stopping the Prime Minister bringing on a vote as soon as Parliament returns and passing that vote. I mean, the bottom line is, whether you have a plebiscite or not, you still have to have a vote in Parliament. So let's just say the $160 million. Let the bigots in Parliament, such as Bernardi and Christensen, oppose our equality. If they want to vote against it, let them. But we don't believe we need their vote to get it across the line. So Prime Minister Turnbull should be bringing on a free vote as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, the former Justice of the High Court, Michael Kirby, he's objected to the plebiscite because he's saying, you know, we should get our politicians to do and get on with, you know, what we've elected them to do. And obviously, with the Parliament being made up slightly differently since the election, we've actually asked them to do this, and that's sort of being delayed. At the same time, you know, Rodney Croom has resigned from his organisation. So what's that sort of
body.
Yeah, what's that sort of split all about?
I can't really comment for Rodney and the motivation for him to leave AME. I do think it's slightly unfortunate. I mean, AME has been the go-to place, and largely because of Rodney's involvement. Rodney is an absolute icon.
He's an icon in my time, definitely.
Certainly in my time, and certainly in younger generations. He's always been on the front foot, standing up for our rights. So for the lobby, for our main lobby group, to lose him is a big blow to AME, I'm sure. But I think the situation there is that AME is a lobby group. Their job is to work with elected members, and that's done. That's what they've been doing up to now. And I think Rodney felt that he couldn't actually oppose the plebiscite with the government. If he remained with AME, he would have to work with them in delivering the plebiscite, sure, and then campaigning hopefully for a yes vote. But the bottom line is, we don't want this plebiscite to take place. We don't want to see those ads. I mean, the ACL are asking for $15 million to run ads to show that our love and our relationships are lesser. And Rodney and myself included don't want to see that played out in the public media. And we don't want our relationships, and we certainly don't want our families to be scrutinised
and subjected to that sort of stuff. Look, if that isn't enough, you know, being an activist, most of us would be exhausted enough, but you run the 86 at night time. So I actually wanted to have you on air last week to talk about, you know, the current state of play, but you convinced me to wait until the Fringe program was released because you have some great things lined up. We were talking to Simon before. You've got some great things lined up at the 86. You've got
I'd like to acknowledge the Fringe. Their website's fantastic this year.
Yeah, we were talking about that. It is sensational.
Yes, it is very good. The search function is great. It's not the fortune teller. That's a very good idea.
It's very clever.
I think they've done a great job this year.
Now, you've got Planet of the Kings. That's one of the shows that you have lined up.
Absolutely.
What can you tell us about that?
Rex Bandix and Hard and Long, two Melbourne drag kings. We've seen them at the venue years ago. We hosted a regular drag king night called the Kong's Kings. These gentlemen featured on that night and now are presenting their own show for this year's Fringe Festival. It's a mockumentary cabaret show, so there'll be some multimedia as part of it.
Still along the lines of drag too, there's also Divine Retribution with Lady Diamond. She's the only 7-foot-tall drag in Melbourne. Well, probably in most of the country.
Could be the country, probably. Yeah. I mean, Simon himself is a giant. Then Lady D with those pins and stilettos is ginormous.
18-foot tall.
I'm actually not too sure if Lady G will actually fit on our stage, but we will find out.
Maybe just not a beehive that night. But that should be a great show to go and see. Also, just briefly, The Queen of Broken Hearts, which I saw, you know, it's a show that actually deals with mental illness. It sounds sensational.
Yeah. So Rosie Roulette is the cabaret performer. She's performing all her own songs in the show. It's a little bit dark. And poignant, and she's worked tirelessly on this and has been updating me throughout the year on the show's progression. Very looking forward to her production.
All right, look, it's a great program coming up at the 86. Thanks, Anthony, for taking time out. And I'll be seeing you down at the venue because I'll certainly be coming to see some of those, if not all of those shows. And it's been great having you on The Informer tonight.
Thank you so much.
So tonight joining us on The Informer is Shannon from The Star Observer, also known as Chappelle. How are you?
I'm very well. How are we this evening?
Pretty good. Look, I've been having another quick look at The Star Observer today because, of course, there's always new breaking stories every day, so that's why it's worth having a quick look online. I know your new issue is coming out in minutes or days.
Couple of days away, and it's a very growly, berry issue. So it's a bit sexy this time around.
Oh, my goodness. I think I asked last week if there was going to be a bear centrefold. Hopefully there will be. But look, at the moment, we can't talk about that because it hasn't been released. It will be coming up soon. So if you want to check that out over the next few days, you can go to Star Observer, of course. But in the meantime, I noticed that there's a great story about the Grunt campaign, which I was sort of up the wrong tree about. Tell me about the Grunt campaign.
This is a fantastic fantastic campaign that's run by PASH.TM, which is a group for trans men who have sex with men. So it's either bi, gay, trans men who are having sex with cisgendered men. And what they're doing with the grant campaign is releasing a lot of sexual health information that perhaps trans men aren't as aware of as their cisgendered gay male counterparts are. So it's actually a really important campaign because obviously there's going to be a lot of trans men who are having sex with bi or gay men that really need to know the health issues that are out there, the sexual health issues out there that perhaps that their cisgendered counterparts are already super aware of, super been a part of this message for a long time. And of course, you know, one of those big sexual health messages is HIV and STIs, which, you know, if you're a trans man, you might just not have really know too much about, but if you're having sex with men, you just got to know. You have to know these things. So it's a really interesting campaign. It was officially announced today, so it's hot off the press. The launches are happening from next week around Australia. So there's a launch happening here in Sydney, I think in about a couple of weeks, in conjunction with VAC, the Victorian AIDS Council in Melbourne, and across Australia. So it's a really, really great and important initiative.
Oh, it's extremely important. And I didn't realise that there was that sort of gap. I suppose we don't actually think about it. Is it an online campaign or is it a resource that's going to be in each of the states that people can access?
So it's one of those campaigns that is, you know, through photos and advertising and posters and that kind of thing, like we've seen with the Ending HIV campaign. So there's a website where people can actively go to find out the information they need, but it'll also be one of those jazzy kind of sexy advertising campaigns that will entice people to visit the website. So once they see the messaging that's, you know, targeted towards them, they can then go to the Grunt website, which I think is just grunt.com, or through the PASH.TM online resource as well. So there's a lot of ways to get the info that these men need.
I sort of want to visit a site called grunt.com. Look, on another note, though, I've noticed that, and it's not a brand new story, but that former Justice of the High Court, Michael Kirby, has objected to the plebiscite. Now, we were talking earlier tonight about how people are sort of splitting either way. Some people are saying that they want a plebiscite because that's the only way that they can see to move forward. And other people are saying, look, just say no to the plebiscite and we'll see what happens when Parliament resits. So that's a great story coming, especially from Michael Kirby.
Yeah, he's super influential and people really respect Michael Kirby. I think when you get to that sort of level of the legal world in Australia, no matter who you are, whether you're gay, straight, in between, outside of that parameters, you listen to a High Court judge and he's very influential. And the fact that, especially with legal knowledge he has, the fact that he's standing up and saying it's not necessary, it's stupid, essentially, is what he's saying. But it also will hurt a lot of LGBTI people and young people as well as the messaging that is sure to come out that's against marriage equality. So he's not only an important ally because he does identify as gay and we love him to death and he's a patron of joy, but he has that legal background that is next to none. Nobody has as much legal knowledge in the country as he does. So the fact that he's speaking from that, I guess, very, very qualified background really is an important voice to have in the lead-up to sort of campaigning against a plebiscite on marriage equality.
Now, also, I was just looking at the website a little while ago and noticed that you've posted a new story. Rainbow Campus at Sydney University hosts willfully disobedient same-sex wedding ceremony. And in a way, it sort of sounds a bit like clickbait, but because I don't want you to give away everything in the story, but it's breaking news.
Well, yeah, so the Rainbow Campus Coalition, which is a national initiative, thought that they approached Sydney University, who you would think would be relatively open to supporting marriage equality and having all gender bathrooms and changing the name of trans students once they've transitioned. But they're sort of digging their heels a little bit. So the Rainbow Campus Coalition at Sydney thought they'd throw a very camp, very over-the-top, very stunning sort of faux marriage ceremony, but it was actually super moving. There were three same-sex couples who walked up the aisle in very fabulous outfits. I was there trying to hold back tears because, you know, I go to a million launches every week, and I knew it was a fake wedding ceremony. It was just a political statement. But there was something about these people, you know, reaffirming their love to each other. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about a couple of people who are just trying to prove their love to each other. And I ended up speaking to a lot of people who attended the ceremony who didn't even know it was on, and they just saw, they were just kind of invited along, and they were super moved by it. I met this really gorgeous young Taiwanese lesbian couple who were like, we just followed the rainbow flags and we ended up at this thing. And I was like, well, why were you crying? And they said, because, you know, at the end of the day, marriage is about family, and that's all you want. At the end of the day, you just want to be in a loving family.
Yeah, I think
so
that's,
even though,
that's certainly the crux of it all. And I think it's just that we are, you know, we feel as if we're getting tantalisingly closer and closer to it at all times. If you, if any of the listeners want to listen read about the story, they can head straight to starobserver.com.au. It's great talking to you again, Shapao, and we will talk again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, David. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. You've been listening to The Informer, Joy 94.9's news and current affairs program. Be listening again tomorrow night at 6:30, as usual, from Monday through Thursday.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.